Good morning, church. Welcome to worship this morning. It is so good to see everyone this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. We are so grateful to have an opportunity to have so much celebrations today as we honor our graduates and also our Memorial Day service. We have a couple of announcements. Make sure that you look through the announcement page that we have. And I think there's very little today, if you might notice, is our first Sunday without the choir. So that means we are officially into the summer season. And so you might notice that Linda is up in the balcony instead of behind on the organ, and we have Diane with us. And we are so grateful for her service and for her music ministry so that Linda and Keith can have a vacation this summer and take some time off. So we are pleased for that. You might notice that next week we'll have a visitor with us. Her name is Alessandra De Romano. She is a survivor of human trafficking, and she will be doing a presentation at the ministry center uptown at 1 on Sunday. So it's open for anyone. She's been through amazing things in her life. She's been involved in gangs, and she has survived some crazy things. And so her point is to help people see why it's important to you. Why should folks in Convoy, Ohio even care or know about human trafficking? And I think that she'll tell you that the internet and technology has changed all of that and made no place particularly safe. So that is coming up. Are there any other announcements from the floor? If there are none, let's prepare our hearts for worship. before we stand for the opening prayer, it is Memorial Day, and we do honor our veterans. And so I invite those who have served in the military, if they would just stand for a moment for us where you are. We thank you so much for your service, and now let us pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, a day that we know, Lord, that you honor freedom. Gracious God, in freedom, in and through freedom, we have the ability to love more fully. We have the ability to care for one another more completely. We have the ability to be the best that we can be. And so we thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you offered us on the cross and for the model for our country that freedom, Lord, brings us into community with one another and into community with all people. And we give you thanks and praise for this day. Amen. I invite you to stand. And we present this morning the color guard as Kathy sings for us, God Bless America. Amen. And would you join me in the call to worship? Greetings in the name of Christ. This congregation bids you welcome. Too easily we lose our way, so we gather to restore, expand, grasp anew what we have forgotten. And I invite you to join us in hymn number 697.
Thank you.
in and through freedom, we have the ability to love. I invite you to turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ. In and amongst our midst, people who have served this congregation as leaders. And we are so grateful for that, and particularly for those who do it quietly week after week. And so I'm grateful for Jean Leary for all that she does for our young people. And it is graduation Sunday, so I invite Jean to come forward, please.
Okay, we have two graduates, and we don't always have the college graduates come forward, but Brady is our only high school graduate, so we decided she needed a little comfort. So Matt has graciously agreed to come up and say a few things. And I've had both of these through Joyful Noises all the way up through high school. Brady has been one of my favorites, which they are all my favorites, but Brady's been the lone ranger of her grades since you've been pretty much in school, right? So with Joyful Noises, she never wanted a speaking part. And so then we got into youth group, and we decided to start doing a yearly dinner theater, which a lot of you guys help us support, which is awesome. And she also didn't want a speaking part there. But about, I don't know, what year did you take a speaking part where we were desperate? And was it your sophomore year, maybe? Junior year. And we discovered she had really hidden talents. Remember, because you did she was the skit with Hannah with what was she? She was Santa one year. That was, I forget the skit with Hannah. It was because she could speak Spanish. That was how she got that part, I think. But anyway, so the fun thing about with having these kids from the time they're in Joyful Noises clear through high school is how much you see them grow. And Brady has been really, I've seen her grow a lot from junior high into her senior year. And this year when we would have discussions and Bible studies, I really appreciated the questions that she asked and some of the things that she said. So I am going to miss her a lot next year. But I know that she's going on, and you're going to tell us where you're going. But she might not tell you that she was also had to give a speech last night at graduation because I think she was ranked second in her graduating class for academics. So I think that deserves a round of applause. But now comes, what are your plans? So tell us where you're going to school and if you have a plan to study.
Okay, I'm going to Ohio Northern in Ada, and I'm going to enter their pharmacy program.
All right. And our next is our college graduate, Matthew Holden. So he can tell us where he graduated from and anything else he might want to tell you.
I graduated from Bluffton University with a degree in pre-medicine and biology. I played football for 4 years there, and currently I'm a stay-at-home son who's exploring his future options.
That's why I wasn't sure what he was going to tell you, so I left it up to him. But, you know, we do, one thing about the kids in this church, we do have really high-achieving kids, I think. I know Matt, when he was in high school, was first in his class, and then in college. I know, what was that honor you got? Yes, he was the distinguished scholar in pre-medicine at Bluffton. You know, and there's a lot of our kids out there who have done similar things. So I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of you two. And I'm going to miss you next year. But, you know, we'll leave the light on for you. So anytime you want to come back. That's what I always tell them. So congratulations. Some light reading for you to do when you have spare time. So, okay. I got you some light reading, too. One more graduate we have, Melissa might not mention, but her son, Matt, is graduated from OU a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? And his degree is in
biology.
There's a word in front of it that, was it microbial? That's wrong, isn't it? I know. We were just talking that she, molecular, I knew it started with an M. Anyway, so that's our other graduate.
He's also a stay-at-home son.
He's a stay-at-home.
It must be the biology thing. I don't know.
I'm hoping it's not business because Nick graduates next year. So.
Thank you. Congratulations, you guys. It's such a blessing to have the kids and the young people and see what they're doing. And we'd also like to invite the children to come forward for a children's moment. As we sing, Jesus Loves Me. Oh, and Jesus does love you. And the Bible does tell us about God's great love for us in and through Jesus. And God and Jesus loves us so much that he wants us to be free. So today we're talking a lot about freedom. And you notice that we brought our church flag and our American flag forward. And have you guys talked about Memorial Day at all? Have you had any conversations about freedom? Do you know what freedom means? Were you, when you got up today, did your family decide to come to church? Yeah. And you have the freedom to do that. You know what? If you lived in some countries, you wouldn't be able to do that. How many of you guys went to school this past year? Okay. You know what? In some countries, you wouldn't have the freedom to do that. How about if you guys got hungry and decided to go to the grocery store and could just go to the grocery whenever you wanted? Would you, could you do that? Yeah, because you have the freedom to do that, right? Yeah, and what about women? How about this, girls? When you turn 16, do you want to learn how to drive? Yeah, but you know what? In some countries, you can't do that. And in some countries, you can't go out anywhere without somebody escorting you. So freedom is really important for us. It gives us the freedom to go to church and to worship God. It gives us the freedom to be able to go to school and not have to go to work at your age. Could you imagine having to go to work already? Well, the Bible tells us in Corinthians that if the Son, meaning Jesus, has set you free, you are free indeed. And so today we honor some folks who served in our military and who died in that service so that we could be able to be free to do all of those things that we like to do. And so we are grateful for that, that we can do those things. And sometimes we don't even think about it. We just do those stuff, and we think that it's a normal, everyday thing. But we remember that they paid a price for that, and that we honor them. And we honor their families that allowed them to go and to fight for us. So let's say a prayer. And then we will give out the suckers, and you can take two suckers, one for you and one for somebody else that you can share the love of Jesus with. So let's pray. Heavenly gracious God, we thank you for Memorial Day. We thank you for all those people who serve in our military. No matter what the cost is, even if they die for us, Lord, they're willing and they go. And so we give you thanks and praise for that, O Lord. We thank you that Jesus is the model of freedom, that he set us free from the laws of the Pharisees that held us in bondage and gave us grace, faith and grace. And we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So there you go. You want your sucker? Okay, you want one too? You get to take two. One for you, one for somebody else. Or later. Awesome. Do you guys want to start those down there? Do you want to stay with me for the microphone? You got it? Okay, thank you. There you go. This is a time when we share our joys and concerns, and we've had our share of both already this morning. And so I invite folks to offer up whether they have a blessing or a concern for us. Miss Tana is way over here. Oh,
I have a sister sitting in a row just in front of me. She's looking. She knows what's coming. Tomorrow is Lois Zeisloff's birthday.
Oh, yay! Lois, great things happened in May.
And this is Lois Zeisloff speaking. Thank you very much. And I have a blessing, indeed. I became a great-grandma again Friday afternoon. Son Denny's older son and wife had a new baby boy.
Aw, and do you know, they have a name for him?
I'm sorry.
Have they picked out a name?
Remy, R-E-M-Y.
Remy. Great.
Well, great-grandpa and great-grandma Reed, we have a joy this morning. It's unique for us, and we have our son Kent here and his wife Bernie from Tallahassee, Florida. And we have then their daughter Danielle and her husband Zach and our great-grandson Noah from Kansas City, Kansas. So it's a special joy for us. Thank you.
The preschool year wrapped up, and we wanted to go ahead and say thank you again to the church for supporting us. We could not stay open if we had to go ahead and deal with all the utility costs and the rent and all that. So we want to say thank you to the church, and we want to give a special thank you to Randy for doing the sound. Again, he is a saint for dealing with heat and a lot of little kids.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I got just a little concern. I checked on Denny Nittle, and he is doing well. He's got six more treatments of radiation, and talked to his wife the other day, and she said that they don't know, but he's probably going to have another biopsy. But when they got in there and everything with radiation, only two of the 12 had any cancer in it on the biopsy. And they think that it's shrinking up pretty good. But Shelley asked me, her brother Mike has got a bad case of prostate cancer. And she wanted me to, I don't know what his last name is for sure, but she is really concerned about him, so I just, you know, wanted
Sure.
put on the prayer list.
Yeah, thank you for that. We have the cancer that we had was in 12 places. Only two of them are cancerous. So that is a blessing and still a concern. And then Shelly's brother-in-law? Brother has cancer, prostate cancer.
Yeah, an update on Ryan Fiesel. He will be going to the Cancer Center of America in Chicago on Wednesday, and they'll be exploring their options there as a concern. And then a joy, we recognize Brady and Matt for their accomplishments academically. And on the other end of that spectrum, at the middle school level, one of our own, Kaylee Pollack, was recognized this spring as the top sixth grader at Crestview Middle School. So congratulations
wow,
to Kaylee.
Very good. Yeah. Did you see Miss Shelley back there?
A couple of things. First, I wanted to welcome my grandson. Made his first appearance in church today, little Riley Breeze. So hopefully you'll get to see him. Secondly, congratulations to the graduates and to the Crestview girls. If you haven't heard, they're
That's
going
right.
to state. So congrats.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Are there any others? Miss Vicki over here? You're getting your workout today.
Thank you, Kathy, for singing that for us today. She didn't know she was going to get into that, but our paths crossed and it worked. And so we thank you, Kathy, for sharing with us today. Also, I'd like to welcome Ray Grieve. We've been praying for Ray. Hopefully things are going well for you, Ray, and we will continue to pray for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Also, I almost forgot the most important thing. We'd like to congratulate Susan Miller, or Hughes. She got the Tom Nelson Distinguished Citizen Award, and so I think that is very well deserved.
Oh, yes. Any others? There being none, let's go to Lord in prayer. Thank you. Heavenly and gracious God, we are so grateful for the joys that we can bring together. The joys that unite us, Lord, and we celebrate with one another. It brings all of our hearts good news when we share and when we're here together to lift each other up. We thank you for our veterans. We thank you for those who died in service. We thank you, O gracious God, for this time away. We thank you for the healings that you've been doing, particularly with those that have cancer. Oh, gracious God, we come against this thing called cancer. We ask that you would put your healing hand on those that continue to struggle. Those that know that battle, oh, gracious God, that is such can be so devastating. We know it seems like it's everywhere, and we don't understand why it's so prevalent. But we ask, O gracious God, that it would be your will to heal all of those with cancer, that it may not be the final word, and we are so grateful for medicine that has come so far in helping us to be able to heal from it and to go on and be productive and live happy and full lives. And gracious God, we thank you for this weather that you've given to us. We thank you for birthdays, Lord, and families that get to come together on this long weekend. We thank you for anniversaries and for graduations. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with Matt and Brady as they go forward in their lives, Lord, that they may hold fast to you in everything that they do, that they might trust you in all of the ways that life rocks us and shakes us, all those places, Lord, where we have so many roads to choose. Grant them wisdom that they would follow your path, that they would listen to your voice, that they would turn to you for guidance, and that they would know that you are the plumb line, Lord, that will bring them to abundant life. So bless them on their journey and keep them safe. Be with those who graduate, O gracious God. All these things, Lord, we give to you in prayer. And we ask that you would just hear the prayers, our unspoken prayer requests, that are on our hearts. Dried up, O gracious God, from the weary paths we walk, we come to the living water. We come this morning to be renewed, and we pray, O gracious God, that you pour down your healing and renewing spirit on us as we come together to worship. We pray that you would hear our prayers for all those around the world in need. The brokenness, the poverty, the diseases, the places where you need our hands to reach and to be world changers. Hear these, our prayers, O Lord, as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand with me as we sing our hymn number 708. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture reading comes to us from Galatians, the letter from Paul to the church in Galatia, and it's 1:1-12. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all of the brothers who are with me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God the Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than that, what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We are receivers of the gospel and the good news that calls us to love one another, and in response, we share the blessings that God has given to us. May I have the ushers gather for the get of our tithes and offering. Please stand as you're able. You rain the fire of your Holy Spirit upon our lives, O God, showing the power of your love. You bless us with a world of wonder and delight, a world where trees sing your praises and seas roar in glory. In awe and gratitude for the blessings in our lives, we offer these gifts back to you as signs of our love and faithfulness. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading comes to us from 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 20 through 29. And actually, I'm going to start at 16 because I love the beginning of this. It says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to them, is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. But you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asher who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab went and sent word throughout all of Israel and assembled the prophets of Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. If Baal is the Lord, then follow him. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us and let them choose one for themselves and let them cut into pieces and put it on the wood. But do not set fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people said, what you have said is good. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given to them and prepared it. They called out the name of Baal from that morning until noon. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is God. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or maybe even away traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted even louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as what was their custom, until blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But still, there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. And they all came to him, and they repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be great in all of Israel." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 sheaves of seed. He arranged the wood, he cut the bull into pieces, and he laid it on the wood. And then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering of the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you are Lord, our God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and licked up all the water in the trench. When the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord is God. The Lord, He is God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, you give us these examples. These examples of your call to follow you and not to be fickle and to follow all the other things that consume us, that taunt us, that tease us, that lure us away from you. All of the things that seem so important to do, to be involved in before you, Lord, you show us are really things that just imprison us. Teach us freedom. Teach us freedom from the laws. Teach us liberation in and through you. And I pray it in your precious name. Amen. Well, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And for too many of us, Memorial Day is about cookouts, family visits, and parades. But so it's so much more than just a 3-day weekend. Those that are of an older generation, and since last weekend, I can call myself that, as I've celebrated a birthday, we understand the significance and the meaning of Memorial Day. But tragically, there are so many young people who don't. I don't know if anybody watches, like, Jimmy Kimmel, when they go on the street and they ask them if they know about things, or Jimmy Fallon, who I think it's Jimmy Fallon does the news that is not true, something like that. Tragically, they don't seem to understand or appreciate what Memorial Day is. So I was surprised to learn that many can't distinguish the difference between Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Labor Day. So just for those of us, and for a case of review, Memorial Day is the day that we remember those that actually died in service for our country. It was originally called Decoration Day after the Civil War because it was the day that we went to those cemeteries and decorated the graves of those who died. But after World War II, it was expanded to include all those who died in service for their country, at war or in any military action. And it is always observed the last Monday of May. You know, it's not important to me how you feel about war, or any war, for that matter. Every American owes a great debt to every man and woman that died while serving their country. There are privileges we enjoy each and every day that are preserved or gained by those who paid the ultimate price for our country. And many of you know that I love a good story. I love storytelling. I was raised listening to Garrison Keillor and Garrison Keillor's story. And I found a story this morning that I want to share as a means for my sermon on this Memorial Sunday. It comes from the biblical storytellers, It's a group that I had a privilege of working with years ago, but haven't had the time to really invest in recently. I have added to the story in some places and taken away in others, but it still remains pretty much the same. Anyway, I hope that this story, this reflection, serves as an introduction to our text this morning. As I peered between the legs of the adults standing, waiting for the Memorial Day parade to go by, clutching a paper poppy that I held tightly in my fist. Do they still pass out paper poppies? I wonder. I don't know. I don't remember. Tiny beads of sweat formed on my forehead. And old men in uniforms with ribbons pinned to their chest marched proudly by in tight formation, chins held high. An American flag flew from the ladder of the fire truck as it wailed down the street. The marching band stirred our hearts with a drum-heavy rendition of the national anthem as silver batons glistened in the sun and flew in the air, tossed by star-spangled girls with ponytails. The VFW grilled up burgers that were covered in mayonnaise and topped by slices of big red tomatoes and lettuce on buns. And they served them on those little paper trays covered with a serving of potato chips that were awful salty. And each of us got our own. That afternoon, we cranked our own homemade vanilla ice cream that we made, and later that night we watched the fireworks from the park. Red paper poppies, grilled burgers, marching bands, fire trucks, fireworks, homemade ice cream, and star-spangled girls with batons, old men in uniforms, a child's view of a Memorial Day parade. Memorial Day also meant that JCPenney's and Kroger advertised the big 20% off sale with flag-covered signs, which frankly made no sense to me then or even now. It bothered me then, as it does now, that in America everything seems to be for sale, even the office of the president, but that's for another day. At age 7, I did not yet understand war and death. Well, I had seen death. I knew that people and animals died. Sometimes you never saw it coming, like the dog that was hit in front of the house. And sometimes it came after a much, much suffering, like the neighbor who died of cancer, that was so thin from his disease that he looked like a matchbox before he died. The next day I sat in church, my red paper poppy, now a fanciful bracelet, matching my polka dot dress. I watched as quite a few men and women, if I remember correctly, stood up to be acknowledged as our veterans. After they stood and were recognized, the pastor gave a sermon about sacrifice. Jesus on the cross, our soldiers who fought in the wars. And just like the buy one, get one, and the 20% off sales, there was a strange disconnect for me. I replayed the stories of Jesus in my mind, of his betrayal, of his ministry, of his death. And I didn't remember him grabbing a sword or shooting anybody. Bad people did bad things even back then, especially the governments and religious authorities. Yet I couldn't recall a single time in Scripture when Jesus used his power to hurt anyone. Years of Memorial Day went by filled with poppy bracelets, hamburgers and star-spangled girls, marching bands and BOGOs, before I really got it. I was a sophomore in high school, and I was in my second year as a candy striper. And after I passed out while I was alphabetizing the surgical specimens for the pathologist, and a heavily sedated patient somehow fell out of a wheelchair while I was pushing them down the corridor, the hospital authorities made a unanimous decision that I should use my skills comforting the patients by playing my guitar and singing for them. My word of rather unique candy striper skills spread, and I was invited to the VA hospital for a Memorial Day performance. The activities director asked me to begin with a set of patriotic songs as they wheeled the patients in. This ordinarily would have been no problem at all. But there was a problem. She forgot to tell me that most of the patients in this hospital were veterans and permanent residents. In her defense, nothing could have prepared me for this Memorial Day parade. Gurney after gurney and wheelchair after wheelchair of older men with horrible disfigurements and multiple missing body parts were pushed to place around me. This parade was made up of men who had been blown apart when they were boys, and they'd spent their adult lives their hidden heroes. Hidden heroes of wars long forgotten. Good grief, it spooked me. My voice locked in my throat, my songs lay dead somewhere deep in my gut. It was all I could do to keep my eyes open. Everywhere I looked, there was something that I wasn't ready to see. But then a man with one arm and no legs at all came to me and said, "Honey, we are so glad you are here. I hear you can sing like an angel." And that broke the spell. I took the poppy from his hand and I lifted my gaze to his crinkled green eyes, and I saw this freckled nose and his short red hair speckled with gray. It suddenly hit me that he'd probably been there since he was a little older than I was. He'd been my age when he'd lost his arms and his legs. The lines in his face were a record of the horror and the pain, and it hit me equally hard that if he had gone through all of that, the least I could do was share a song. A few that I could find the courage to sing a few patriotic songs. Now I was in full possession of the meaning of the holiday that he'd introduced me to and the sacrifice that it honored. I've never forgotten that man. I still don't get the connection between the 20% off sales and Memorial Day, but I admit that I enjoy having a hamburger and watching parades and the star-spangled girls with their banner with their batons that glitter in the sun. And now, as the mother of a 21-year-old son who had to register for the draft, I pray that my son will never fight in a war to give that kind of a sacrifice, to be that part of a hero, of a hidden war. I pray that I can open our ears to hear one another, so that my son and all the sons of all the mothers across the globe and around the world can avoid the horrors of war. It's the best way for us to honor my friend with the green eyes and the freckled nose, and his sacrifice he made for us. And it's the least that we can do for our Lord Jesus Christ, who also paid the ultimate price to save us. He never asked his followers to grab a sword and to follow him into battle. He instead modeled a different reaction. As he himself was being sacrificed, he didn't yell, grab a sword and kill those who are killing me. Instead, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So this Memorial Day, I'll probably have a hamburger, and I'll watch a parade, and I'll see the fireworks. But I'm also going to start a new tradition for myself. I'm going to make a list of folks to whom I have a hard time offering peace. I'm going to picture them in my mind. I'll forgive them and offer that peace one by one. It isn't profound. It's not very much. But I want to start somewhere because I want my son and all of the sons to inherit a world of peace. That is what Paul was saying in his letter to the Galatian church. He knew that people in that early and very young church were being told that it was necessary to follow the rules and the laws that the Jews had said were so necessary. The folks doing this were people who had not been born Jews, but they were Judaizers. So these were folks who were accepted as Jews into the temple because they followed the rules, because they were circumcised, because they did what the Pharisees told them to do. For them, law was their security. Paul, as Saul, knew full well the rules and what rule following was about. He said of himself in Philippians, he said, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, a Hebrew for Hebrews from the tribe of Benjamin, and in accordance and of the law, a Pharisee. In other words, Paul, of all people, knew that if it meant relying on the law, he would be there to follow it. But in fact, he says, I am repelled at the thought. This letter to the church in Galatia is a letter of freedom and liberation. Paul wants people to know that the very work of Jesus is at risk. The very gospel itself, the teaching, this was a teaching that was a perversion of the gospel. The gospel that was based on the law or works or anything else, according to Paul, is a perversion of the true gospel. And remember that the word gospel means good news. And so for Paul, anything else is not good news at all. He said he was shocked. He was amazed and astounded and appalled that people were falling for these false teachings. He said that the gospel that he knew was the gospel of grace, the good news that was from Christ and Christ alone. And in this early church, it was being trampled and replaced by works theology, a works gospel, which, like I said, Paul said, was not good news at all. He was amazed that those who had recently been freed from and liberated from the law were so quick to go back to it. Paul teaches that there is no option. It is either the gospel of Jesus Christ or it is some other gospel that's a perversion and leads to destruction. Only the work of Jesus frees us from the law and sets us free. Anything else is condemnation. So here's the message for us this morning as we celebrate the sacrifice that our brothers and sisters made for us from oppression. Just as we Americans struggle with defining freedom, so do we as a church struggle with what freedom from the law through the cross means. Paul is clear. Any message based on adherence to the law has no eternal rewards. Salvation is through the divine work of God, totally apart from any of the works of man. It is grace, and grace alone. Amen. Gracious God, be with us this day as we struggle with freedom, as we struggle what freedom means from the law and from any other gospel that is not good news. Help us to hold true and to cling on to the freedom that comes through the cross by grace and faith. Amen. I invite you to stand for this singing of our closing hymn, number 702. Go with the assurance of the freedom in grace through Christ Jesus our Lord. Go and offer peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.